Along the 15-kilometer stretch of highway from one end of Smithers to the other, there are over 45 billboards. The subject of each sign varies from sugar-filled DQ blizzards to truck rentals to pro-life absurdist messaging. For anyone driving or biking, it's pretty overwhelming. Drivers are bombarded with these signs, and it makes you wonder, how do these signs get here? To be frank, it seems easier to put up an anti-abortion billboard near town than it is to put a sandwich board outside of your own business on Main Street, according to the Smithers sign bylaw number 1841. The owner of Glacier View Satellite on Main Street in Smithers told me, "You can forget trying to hang a banner outside of your own business for all the red tape that exists for store owners in town."
No, it's not like trying to put up a banner. If you try to put up anything on the outside of your building, look out, you need all the permits and the rest of it.
So what's the process? How did this stretch of highway between Telqua and Smithers become inundated with signs, signs, signs? That's what we're asking today on CICK News.
This is CICK News. Thanks for joining us. I'm your host, Dan Messick. Each week, we provide an update about events and issues developing right across Northwest BC. CICK's Smithers Community Radio is on the dial at 93.9 FM, or you can listen online at smithersradio.com or subscribe to our podcast. CICK News broadcasts from unceded Ginamden Territory, home of the Wet'suwet'en Nation.
Back to work, back to church, back to normal, and the lockdowns. Back to all the stuff that sucks. So let's start closer to the beginning. Back in the 1930s, the Bulkley Valley outside of Smithers was the wide-open, river-adjacent rolling valley of the Wet'suwet'en and farmland. Some of the land was owned by families that still operate farmland and agriculture on the same plot. But then, a proposed highway was to divide the land and make it easier to travel by car and transport goods into the community of Smithers by truck from larger urban centers. The highway followed the route of the Canadian Pacific Railway line, and beginning in 1943, the highway was under construction, with the bulk of the work being done by interned Japanese-Canadian men during the forced displacement of Canadian-born peoples of Japanese descent in Canada during the 1940s. When established, the highway gave rise to traffic as well as lifestyle traveling, which grew more popular leading into the decades to come. Businesses were already well established within the Smithers town lines. At that time, Main Street was still unpaved, but many individuals were operating small businesses for the residents of town. It's unclear when billboards began popping up along the highway. Billboards have been in place along main artery roads since the early 19th and 20th centuries, and ever since they've prevailed as highway advertising, people have been calling them an eyesore. In a little bit of research, as early as the 1920s, people across the globe have been asking if billboards are necessary, with articles dating back to the 19th century in Paris, where residents called billboards deceitful messaging, and coalitions were created to end the overuse of large advertisements. I went about finding out the process of getting a sign put up by calling the people I thought were responsible for selling the space, the town of Smithers office.
I'm really sorry. None of us seem to have an answer, and we've checked with our development division, and they don't know, and they suggested call the chamber, but you've already done that. So maybe pick one of the more well-known signs that you see up there and contact them and say, hey, how'd you go about this?
Yeah, that's a good idea. I will do that for sure. Thank you.
Okay, sorry, I can't be more help.
No, that's a really good suggestion. I will do that because I think that would probably just be the simplest.
Okay.
Okay, thanks a lot.
You're welcome.
Bye. So now I'm wondering, if the town and chamber don't know and can't even tell me who to talk to, who's giving the go-ahead to these messages on the side of the highway?
Yeah, so there's a whole process private property owner can apply to have billboard space. If they get approved, then they can rent it out for however they see fit. Some people do it by the month. Some people do an annual thing. So I don't think there's any limitations. But I mean, depending, typically, these people that have billboard space available, people would have to kind of apply. So people would put in their, it's kind of like a rent, right? So So you get 5,000 rental applications, you go through, you find a fit that you think is best, and you go from there. So I'm not sure 100% how much of the discretion is up to the landowner. I do know that billboard space is hard to come by, so typically they end up being able to kind of pick and choose, but you have to contact the specific property owner.
Right.
Per se, because this is all conjecture.
With that, I called a company in Victoria who manages the sale of billboard space in the interior and spoke to Coast Outdoor Advertising Limited account executive Linda Tesser.
I've got it in front of me so I can have, I'm happy to talk to you about that. It's $2,543, but that includes up to 20 square feet mm-hmm. of reflective lettering because these billboards are not lit at night. So that's what that cost includes that. So that way, you know, it's effectively with the reflective lettering when it's dark, you know, that kind of thing. So, you know, I'm happy to explore that further. Mm-hmm. If this fits within your marketing strategy, I'd be more than happy to reach out to our partner to confirm availability. I just don't have access to their system to determine whether or not they even have anything available. So that would be my next step is if you say, yes, I'd like to look at that further, then I call them and say, okay, do we have anything available? And they let me know. And if not, they can certainly advise when.
Does anyone from, and sorry, it's called Coast Outdoor Advertising, right? Sorry, what's the company?
Yes.
Coast Outdoor, okay. Yes. Does anyone from Coast Outdoor, do you like have like a final look over what it is, if it's my design, or is it basically just I can just buy it and then just put up what it is that I want to put up on the billboard?
Well, in other words, the content, you talk asking yep. about the content?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it has to fit within the advertising standards. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. If there's something controversial, obviously my owner would be seeing this and we'd be saying, I don't think we can do that. Yeah. And I honestly don't know, Pamela. I imagine it's a combination of two different types. Like I said, in our particular case, we work with Native families. And so, you know, we don't own the land. We lease it from them. And I imagine that's the same case for these billboards up in Smithers and or in the interior and whatnot, that they're probably leased. They're leasing the land, but from who I honestly don't know. And I don't know whether they would even divulge that information to us.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of their own private situation. Like I said, our situation with them is that we sell their inventory. They sell ours. If you're interested, my next step is to say, okay, this is the, you know, this is what we're looking at, you know, time frame wise, and this is the kind of messaging, and you know, is this going to be a challenge? Instead of us going to through all the process of putting a contract together and all those kinds of things, let's get all of those pieces settled before we even take the next step of having a contract put together. So my thing with you is, you know, are you interested? And if you are, then we can certainly investigate availability and, you know, determining if they accept the content.
So I'm allowed to advertise wherever there's space available, according to Linda, but that if the content is deemed contentious, the owner of the land, as of all the properties sold by Coast Outdoor Advertising, is on private land. It may not be accepted. That seems odd, that the process to put up a billboard is left to the landowner's discretion and choice of messaging. There are ad standards for any advertisement in Canada, but the oversight of these ad standards is not regionally managed. According to the Canadian Ad Standards, the code is broadly supported by industry and is designed to help set and maintain standards of honesty, truth, accuracy, fairness, and propriety in advertising. Provisions of the code should be adhered to both in letter and in spirit, and advertisers and their representatives must substantiate their advertised claims promptly when requested to do so by counsel. Most of the ads along Highway 16 near Smithers are cut and dry. Get a Big Mac at McDonald's, rent a truck at Frontier, call Jade for first aid security. These are clearly adverts. But what about one-offs like end the lockdowns or food shortage coming? Are these advertisements? And if they aren't, do these public messages need to follow the same standards as the business billboards? According to the interpretation guidelines and code provisions portion of the Canadian Ad Standards document, quote, advertisements must not exploit superstitions or play upon fears to mislead the consumer, end quote. But one could argue that foretelling of a food shortage at a time when people are already food insecure might be playing upon fears of the customer. I did something I don't really suggest anyone else try to do, and posted a question about billboards along Highway 16 near Smithers on a Ask Smithers Facebook page. The comments that I received were swift, as I received over 100 comments in under an hour, and they ranged the gamut of people calling them trashy, people saying that they would like to see less, and especially less weird political, religious, or whatever opinion pieces. One user said billboards make sense for advertising, not spreading the good word. Other people said that they don't find them distracting and likened them to stop signs and streetlights. A new visitor to the area said, I just visited for the first time and it was a bit of a shock, as it's just forever of minimal civilization and then bam. Another user said, my 2 cents worth, way too many and certainly a huge contributor to distracted driving. I don't even know why it's allowed here or anywhere. They always make a big deal about distracted driving down to you shouldn't eat and drive, but this is okay. I attempted to connect with the Ministry of Transportation and Infrastructure, but unfortunately was not granted an interview just due to time constraints and people on vacation, which, hey, I'm not faulting them for. But unfortunately, I don't really have a word from the ministry, except for an excerpt that I have from the BC Transport website, which says, billboards can be a distraction to travelers. The BC government will not approve of billboards near the highway right of way. Billboards must be placed a minimum of 300 meters away from a provincially owned highway in rural areas. It's pretty obvious that that's not really adhered to here, but to get a little bit of a local perspective, I did speak with Mark Fisher of the Regional District of Bulkley-Nechako.
Sure, my name is Mark Fisher. I'm the Electoral Area Director for Area A, Smithers Telco Rural, for the Regional District Bulkley-Nechako.
What's the RDBN's responsibility in regards to land use along the highway for billboards and advertising?
Basically, there is none. So it is a question that people have sometimes, but at this point, the Regional District doesn't have any kind of sign bylaw. That's throughout the district from just this side of Witsit to the other side of Vanderhoof. So there is no regulation or any type of rules that landowners have to follow. The private landowners can put them up if they like. There are some highways regulations within the right-of-way. And other than that, there are no signed bylaws in the Regional District of Bulkley-Nechako.
Okay, so there isn't really then any oversight at all if there is, like, let's say, a contentious or even confusing sign put up. Really, it's between the person who purchased the space and the landowner, as well as the company who perhaps did the graphics or something like that.
That's right.
Yeah. Who manages that relationship between the landowners with billboards on their properties and then the people purchasing the signs? Or again, is that strictly just the company selling that property?
Yeah, it's the landowner and the advertiser, I guess you'd say. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's no government involvement. It basically, people are free to do what they wish on their own property. And I know there's people that have opinions one way or the other about that, but at this point, there is no regulation around it. Mm-hmm. It's between the private landowner and how they want to use their property.
Yeah. Well, then just from your perspective, I mean, do you get people that comment to you, you know, often, or is this kind of like a cyclical commentary that happens where just people, especially new people to town, feel like there's a kind of an exorbitant amount of billboards, especially coming from Telqua into Smithers?
Yeah, it comes in phases. In the 8 years I've been on the board, I've had one person talk to me about it, and I've one group that has talked to me about it, and I met with that group, and they talked about having some kind of solutions and trying to work with landowners and advertisers kind of with some more centralized and maybe a bit more what they feel is appropriate advertising within the valley and along the roadsides specifically. So For myself personally, there's been two, I guess, times where I've had to discuss the issue with residents. And I think throughout the district, there's been one or two others, but it just hasn't been an issue. That's why at this point, there's no real appetite at the board to do have a signed bylaw. There's a whole another level of, well, probably taxation and then regular enforcement and all kinds of things that go along with that. So at this point, because it hasn't been an issue, I guess, compared to other issues that have taken other priorities, there just hasn't been a move towards a bylaw.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I know that the bylaws are quite strict and they're very clearly laid out in town what you can do as far as signage goes.
But yeah, and that's specific to Smithers as well. I don't think other, like every municipality has their own their own regulations around that, but that one's specific to Smithers. Yeah, I don't know what Telqua is and or the other jurisdictions. It's a tough one. Like I understand both sides. Quite frankly, like it does affect the aesthetics of the community, but I'm more of a, you know, I think people are free to do what they want with their properties. The one thing on that note, though, like it's an interesting one because, you know, a landowner in that position benefits from a publicly funded infrastructure. So there are taxation theories and practices that kind of capture that. So it's called, you know, like a land value taxation, where actually that sign is worth a lot because of the publicly funded infrastructure. So they're actually making money off of something that everyone's paying for. So there's theories that should be, you know, put back into the public purse. But that's a whole other ball game, and that's a really big philosophical question whether or not there's a shift towards that. But that's kind of how I believe. Like, I think there should be some accounting for that when it comes to taxation. But they're two, the regional districts actually don't set a lot of their own multipliers for, like, we set the taxation rate. But there's limited tools on how you could kind of change that for other specific properties. So, yeah, that's a pretty philosophical question. But I think that it should be said that, you know, that the landowners along the highway, they lose value, but they also gain value, and whether or not the public should be compensated for that is a question. Otherwise, I kind of think, you know, it's people have different opinions, but mine would be, you know, it's not my preference, but it's also not my property. So, and if people, there's people who want to see it different, but there's people who just feel like we should leave people alone. So that's where it stands now. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, in regards to the Agricultural Land Commission, like, I mean, you know, is that sort of like part of the discussion that comes up that, you know, even a discussion that you would be a part of where it's not really like quote unquote proper use of agriculture land, or is that not really ever filtered into the discussion very much?
Yeah, that's actually a great point because, you know, in theory, like the ALC requires applications for like the smallest of things for like a non-farm use application for tiny little things for kiosk. Like, I mean, example, like some of the regional districts doing some kiosks right now, and we've got to apply for these little tiny variants and applications for these little tiny projects. So, yeah, that's a really good point. At this point, because there's no regulation, it falls through the crack. But yeah, that's a good point. I think if there was a bylaw and there was some kind of enforcement, that would really get, you know, it would be complicated with the ALR aspect.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, for generally how many, I mean, I know that new bylaw, you know, like even like a new bylaw or a revised bylaw, definitely, I mean, it applies to everything that's, you know, that it applies to. But also too, it seems like there's quite a few like of these spaces that like, they're grandfathered into the land of generations of people owing. So I could see that being quite a contentious issue if that ever did actually come about. But
yeah, like cell towers, they, you know, there's this new cell tower right along there at the same. I mean, it takes a lot more footprint. And I think that's probably one of the things with signage. You can, even if you could even get around it, if there was a bylaw, you know, you're talking about use of ag land, you just make this, you design the signage better where your actual footprint is very, very, very small, and you could probably get around that. So I think, yeah, actually that's a good question you have, but now that I really think about it, it's not a game changer in itself. It is more the sign issue.
So it's a bit of a don't ask, don't tell situation in regards to these billboards and messaging. Mark isn't jaded, but what I got from our conversation is that if the property is privately owned, it's not the regional district's job to engage and change land use due to a couple of complaints every couple of years. I'm not disheartened, but I do agree that these signs are ugly, especially when you have so much beauty just behind them. In conclusion, I think I won't be the last person to ask the question, and that the people of Smithers and Telqua will always engage in discourse about the best way to live your life out here. The signs are here to stay, but if you're a person who's tired of pro-life messaging or peculiar use of billboard space, the change you want to see is only about $2,000 away from happening if you can find the space.
You've been listening to CICK News. If you have any hot tips or news stories you think we should cover, contact us at CICKnews@smithersradio.com or follow us on Facebook at CICK News. CICK News is made possible by the Government of Canada and the Community Radio Fund of Canada, the only organization mandated to financially supporting campus and community radio stations across Canada. You can also catch our fresh shows each week at theskeena.com or subscribe to our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you find your podcasts. Thanks to our producer Pam Hassan and all of our roving reporters, I'm Dan Messick. Thanks for listening.